Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Motivating and Inspiring the Next Generation X through True Life Experiences. Live on Ming X Media Group Blog Talk Radio, 98.9 FM. I'm your host, Jazzy J. Today we welcome the life and motivation of Mrs. Sarah Collins Rudolph, sole survivor of the September 15th, 1963, 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in Birmingham, Alabama, during the Civil Rights Movement. Mrs. Rudolph is a speaker and advocate for justice. She is a shero. Let's bring her on. Hi, Mrs. Rudolph.
Hi, how you doing?
I am honored and blessed. Thank you for stopping by to share with the audience your passions and motivations in life. Let's get started.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Rudolph, please share with the audience more on how your life was prior to September the 15th of 1963.
Well, I stayed in a little community called Smithfield over in Birmingham, Alabama. And life was very... Simple, you know, we was going through things like segregation, you know, we wanted to get things desegregated. And I remember my parents would go to meetings that they was having at the 16th Street Baptist Church. And things was kind of really bad back then. You know, we couldn't go to a department store and try on the clothes. My mother could buy shoes and clothes, but we couldn't try them on. We couldn't try the shoes on in the stores.
Wow. So let me ask you, you know, I know that you were not an active participant, and we understand the tragic loss you suffered losing your older sister, Addie Mae, and Carol, Cynthia, and Denise on that dreadful Sunday morning while attending church. But can you reflect on your life following the bombing?
Well, at that time of the bomb, I lost my right eye, and I didn't get any kind of counseling. During that time, they didn't counsel kids, you know. I had to go back to school and in a nervous condition and so fearful. And I went back about a week after I got out the hospital. I stayed in the hospital for about a month and a half, and I had to go right back to school. And I was just in a terrible condition. People didn't understand that I would exactly well enough to go to school, but I had to go back. And when I got there, I remember when I left the hospital, the doctor told my mother to bring me back in February because they was going to have to remove my right eye because it was damaged. And if they didn't remove it, I would go blind in my left eye. So everything had really changed.
Yes, ma'am. So now, Ms. Rudolph, I understand that your sister's remains are still missing. Can you elaborate a little bit on your mission?
Oh, yes. Yes, we wanted to move Addie. She was in a Greenwood Cemetery. That's close to the airport. And we decided to move her because the cemetery wasn't kept up real good and clean. So my family decided to move her into Mausoleum, and it located at Elmwood Cemetery. But when they exhumed her remains, Eddie wasn't there. It was somebody in the grave that had dentures, and Eddie didn't have any dentures. So we tried to find out the location of where she were, but when we went to the pool funeral home to find the location, they said that the records was burned up and they couldn't tell us where she was located. So since then, we don't know where Eddie's remains are.
Okay, and as the sole survivor, let's talk a little bit about the lack of local acknowledgement of your heroism.
Well, here in Birmingham, they don't talk too much about the feel good girl. They always have when you hear a talk, they always talk about the foe that was killed. And during the anniversary, that's what they all say. I guess many people got that four little girls from the documentary that Spike Lee wrote, and I mean say that he made, and that's all most they say is the fourth little girl. They didn't know that I was one of the survivors because my name wasn't mentioned too much at that time. But and people from other cities, they all acknowledged me, you know, when they found out that I was one of the survivors. I can go anywhere, and they always acknowledge the fact that. But here in Birmingham, I believe they want to keep it quiet. They want to act like that time never happened, so they don't want too many people just talk about it and just keep it quiet, because that was a terrible time in during 1963.
All right, and Mrs. Rudolph, do you feel you and other innocent individuals, mainly women and children, were not protected by the civil rights movement before, during, or after the bombing and other demonstrations in Birmingham area in 1963?
Martin Luther King, he was involved in it, and it wasn't too much. By me being at the age of 12 when that happened, I really didn't see too much that the civil rights did for me. But I do recall my brother telling me that at his funeral, he attended, Martin Luther King attended at his funeral, but he never did come to visit me, and not too many people, you know.
Really? Are you for real?
No, not too many people. It was maybe about three or four people from the church came to visit me when I was injured, and but like I said, most of the attention was on the girl that was killed that day. And
why
I remember
why do you think that being the hero that you are, Mrs. Rudolph, that you've never received the recognition that you so surely deserve? Why do you think that you were not recognized for your heroism that day?
At the time, you know, it was people coming out that was saying that they was in the bombing, you know, that they was involved in it, and they went all across. I won't call any name, but they went all across the United States speaking and, you know, getting that recognition when they know that it wasn't true, because, you know, when something happened like that, people will step in and say that they was in it, and I look back and I seen these things happening, but I didn't see anything about it because I figured that one day, you know, my turn would come, that they'll realize that all this was false, that they was, you know, doing. And it was several people did that, you know, they wanted to say that they were in the basement that day, but they wasn't, because it was just five of us there. And if they had came into the basement, they would have been killed, because when the girls got together, that's when the bomb went off.
Well, Mrs. Rudolph, your situation was a lot different. You actually went to the hospital, pictures which document that you were there. And I surely do not understand why you were never recognized. We also understand that you have worked at steel mills and in the field of housekeeping most of your adult life. How can America help you retire? Tell us a little bit more about your campaign.
Well, I go around and I talk to the kids in school about, you know, what happened that day. And I give them the kids advice. You know, many of our school kids, they weren't born at that time, and they don't really know about their history. So I go around the country telling them about it, and even talking to them about hate, you know, because, you know, at that time when it happened, I had a lot of hate on the inside of me about Caucasian, but I had to really take that out of me. And God has been using me to go around and tell my testimony on how he had to heal me from all that that had hate on the inside of me, because I realized it was a lot of different races that was marching. And I stopped feeling that way after I got older. And I was really, really feeling bad at a young age, just knowing they killed my sister and my friends. And there was something I just carried on the inside of me for a long time. But after God began to heal me, I go around and tell them about my testimony, how that we don't have to hate people and we can forgive. And also I let them know to stay out of these gangs and vote and get out and vote, register to vote when they get at the age of 18, because that's what we was really fighting for. We were fighting for our rights to vote. So that's what I go around doing now.
All right, but tell us a little bit about your campaign for individuals to donate money to help you retire.
I would like for people to help me on my mission and to donate the money to the my fund, and my fund is Sarah Collins Fund Foundation, and they can send donations to my post office box. My post office box is 3-5. Wait a minute, I'm sorry, wait a minute. Can't even think of it now. I got kind of nervous. Wait a minute.
That's okay. Miss Rhoda.
My post office box is 3-1-1-2-3-4.
And that's Birmingham, Alabama, right? Can you give us the zip code?
My post office box is located at 1450 Forestdale Boulevard, 35214. And that's the Sarah Collins Rudolph.
Right. Well, Ms.
Yes.
Rudolph, you have a platform of speaking to our future generations. How are you able to motivate and inspire others on how critical it is to stand up for what is right, even if you stand alone within society?
Well, you know, when God had to really do something on the inside of me, you know, I got right with God, and he began to heal me. He began to heal the inside, take away all that nerves and pressure of fear from me, because at first I wasn't able to go out there really and do anything about speaking. So I started back going to church and got saved, and that's what I do now. I just pray and keep God in my life, and he helped me to get out there and do what I had to do, because I know God didn't spare my life for nothing. And I've been trying to go out there and talk to the young people, because I see so many of our young people are getting killed and going to jail, and they're getting in these gangs, and it's time for them to really know about what happened back there then, so they won't get caught up in all that hate.
Well, Mrs. Rudolph, when you look back, are there any particular memories you would like to share with the audience today?
Yes. When I really look back on my life, I like to let people know to get an education, because I wasn't able to go to college because of the way that I was still shaken up. So I just would like to tell them to go and get an education so they can get a good job and have a good life, because that's what they're going to take now. They're going to take a good education. And right now in Birmingham, in Alabama, they want to build more jails. And they don't have to go to jail. They can go to college and just make some out of their life.
All right, Mrs. Rudolph, you have spoken to many mainstream media outlets over the years, NPR to name one. You are demanding millions in compensation. We know no monetary amount can replace your loss nor your struggles. Trent, can you please reflect more on your mission?
Yes. When I go to these schools, they have these movies and things out, like Selma, for instance, and they're giving the wrong information too about what happened on that day. And we want to, I really want the people know that it didn't happen that way. Cause many of our young people, they think that those girls were, killed by going down the steps in the church, but it didn't happen like that. I just want to get the right information on how that when they was killed, it was in the basement, the 16th Street Baptist Church, and these young people they changed the civil rights law. Now we have vote, and we can do things now that they didn't have us doing back then. Because people say they are mortals. Well, we know for ourselves that they died. They was killed. They was murdered in church. But just for their death, they really changed this whole nation. And they can do things now. They can have freedom now to do vote. And I don't want them to take their voting for granted, So that's what my message is. Get out there and vote so we won't have to complain.
Let's talk about your mission for you to be compensated, Mrs. Rudolph, for what you have gone through in your life. What about your right to file a case against the Crimes Victim Funds? What are you doing to get compensated for what has happened to you in your life?
Well, I have been trying to get compensated, and every time I would go and somewhere to
where are you going?
Try to get
where
funds.
Are you going? Where are you going to get compensated?
We went to the Vic Crime conversation place, but they said when I went to apply, they said that the building wasn't built back there in the 60s. So right now, it wasn't anything that they
that
can
has
do.
Nothing we to do with your rights as a victim of a violent crime for an individual that was sentenced for that crime. There are so many avenues that you need to pursue, Mrs. Rudolph, to get compensated, because this has been a traumatic experience on your entire life.
But me and my husband, we have been trying for the longest to try to get compensated. We even went to the talked to the people at the city. We went there, and they said they wasn't that they can do. Because our mayor told us he wasn't in office then, and we already knew that he wasn't in office. But it was the city that started all this. Cause we had Bull Connor that was out there.
No, that's not where we need to go. You do not need to go to your local government. You need to go to the Office of Justice Program, and you need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
For your entitlements, for Justice for All acts, because you have lived a life based on that tragic day in September of 1963.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way, Mrs. Rudolph, that you don't deserve to be compensated for your disfigurement, for the mental stress, for the lack of education that you were able to receive at that time in 1963. All of that is important, and all of that plays a role in you being able to get your compensation for being a victim of a violent crime. All you did on September the 15th of 1963 was went to church. You wasn't protesting. You wasn't advocating. You are attending church. You deserve to be compensated.
And I already know that, but like I said, every place we went, the door was just closed. You know, we couldn't. My husband and I, we have been trying for years, but nothing has happened.
Well, Mrs. Rudolph, please share with the audience how to reach you.
Well,
Facebook. I know you're on Facebook. You're on LinkedIn.
Well, they can reach me in my house. You know, my house number is 619.
Well, you've already given us your PO box address. That's good enough. So don't give out your personal home address over the internet. That's not smart at all. All right. So are you on any other social media sites besides LinkedIn and Facebook? Are you on Twitter?
Wait a minute. We're on Twitter. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mrs. Rudolph, any final words of wisdom for the audience today?
Right now, all I can say, we're just trusting God. That's all I got to say. Trust God, because I'm still trusting in Him that one day things will change for me.
Well, Mrs. Rudolph, we thank you again for stopping by and sharing your motivations and passions in life with the audience today. We believe America did not fulfill its obligations to many individuals who were innocent victims of the civil rights movement, and that the movement itself did not have structure, and only the leaders benefit before, during, and after a crisis designed to destroy its own society. We wish you continued success in life and pray that you will continue to make a tremendous impact on our society as a speaker and advocate for justice. We hope that this message will reach the masses worldwide and you will be able to retire. We thank you so much for your sacrifice on September the 15th of 1963.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day, Mrs. Rudolph. We're going to say goodbye for now, but we will be in touch.
All right. Goodbye. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right, guys. Let's help retire Mrs. Sarah Collins Rudolph, the fifth litter girl who was disfigured for life following the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in Birmingham of 1963. You can donate to Mrs. Rudolph's campaign via www.indiegogo.com as soon as possible. Thank you for joining me today for motivating and inspiring the next Generation X through true life experiences. Live on Ming X Media Group Blog Talk Radio, 98.9 FM. We are keeping it real in the streets 24/7. I'm your host, Jazzy J. Until then, keep God first in your life.